One more quick announcement that I have for you. This week I sent out a video or an email about Fifth Sunday prayer. That was supposed to be this Sunday night when we were going to gather together. Plans have changed. But because we can't gather together doesn't mean we can't pray together. We started this focus on prayer for the year, and one opportunity that we implemented was to hold an evening of prayer on every fifth Sunday. So our plans are to gather. Our plans were to gather for healing prayer time this week, and that's been kind of short-circuited by the whole COVID-19 virus thing. But nothing and no one is able to hinder our prayers coming together. Our prayers arrive to the throne of God together, and just in the same way, whether we're sitting next to each other or coming around to the throne room of God from distant locations. So I want to encourage you, look in your email, get the prayer prompts, get the prayer requests that were sent out, and block out some time this Sunday evening to pray with us from wherever you are. Prayer makes a difference. Don't stop. With that in mind, we're going to take some time to pray together this morning. I just ask that you would agree with me in prayer. As I'm praying, you be praying as well, and share to God all the requests and needs that you're aware of. Let's talk to Him together. Gracious Father God, I thank You so much for the privilege You give to us to meet together, even when we're apart, to spend time with one another, even when we're separated, and to be able to pray, knowing, Lord, that You hear each prayer, each time, that no matter where we are or what we're going through, You're anxious to hear Your children crying out to You. And so we pray today, Lord. We ask that You would be at work in our lives as brothers and sisters in Christ. Lord, would You use us to be an encouragement to those who are around us? Would You give us creative ideas of ways that we can communicate together? Would You help us, Lord, to be the church, spread out all over the place? Because, Lord, that's how You used the church in the very beginning. Spread out, taking the good news of the gospel to the ends of the earth. Lord, I pray that You'll be with our church family. For any with spiritual needs, Lord, struggling in battles in the spiritual realm, Lord, would You be at work in their lives today through the power of Your word and the presence of Your spirit, Lord? Would You please strengthen them, encourage them? By Your Spirit, Lord, convict of sins and bring us to that repentance and forgiveness that frees us. Use this time in Your word today, Lord, to recenter our thoughts on You, on who You are and what You do in our lives. I pray for those with physical needs. Lord, I know that there are sicknesses, not just the virus that has us locked down, but the regular flu and other illnesses and diseases, things that were pre-existing in our lives. Lord, we're dealing with all sorts of kind of things in our physical bodies, and we ask that You, our healer, would bring strength when we are weak. And Lord, we'll give You the praise as we see how You do it. Father, I know that there are many who are facing financial needs, being off work and not sure how that's going to go, and seeing reserves depleted, and worrying and wondering what's going to happen in the days and the weeks and the months ahead. Lord, I pray that in our anxiety You would bring to us Your peace, as we're reminded that You know everything that's going on. There's nothing that has caught You off guard. And that every need that we have, You have promised to provide for. Maybe not in the way we've expected it or gotten used to. But Lord, I pray that You would help us to trust You and to look for You at work in our lives. And we will be certain, Father, to give you the praise and the glory, because you alone are worthy of it all, Father. Remind us of that throughout this day. Draw us closer to you by your Spirit and through your Word. Draw us closer to one another, even though we're distanced. And in every way, Lord, we'll give you the glory and the praise. Thank you, Lord, for hearing our pleas. Glorify yourself in us as we ask it now in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.
We live in a world now with no standard even. So they kicked out all the standard. They don't want to live with any ethically standard. So now they want to live freely from anything. And actually they are slaves to sin. As a church living in a difficult world, we always look up and we are looking in a hope that He is coming. He is coming. And that faith is giving us a strength to continue in our way to meet Him one day.
Well, I hope you enjoyed the video. When I saw that this week, it reminded me of what we're going to be talking about from God's Word this morning, that we need to look up. We need to keep looking up because Jesus is our coming King. So today we want to finish up with that, looking at the fourfold gospel. You remember it, that Jesus is our Savior, our Sanctifier, our Healer, and our coming King. It's all been part of the series CNMA DNA that we've been looking at over the last couple of weeks, a look at what we believe and how it changes our lives. Because, you know, what you believe matters. It's too often we take that for granted. And we just kind of, oh, yeah, maybe I believe. We don't think about our beliefs. It's good to be reminded and to firm that up in our mind. Because if we're building a community of faith in God that lives well, but not by sight, then we need to be clear on what it is that we know to be true about who God is, about who we are in Christ, and about what it takes to live well in this world. Because our world today is in chaos. It's partly because of the COVID-19 pandemic that's ravaging nearly every nation in the world. Some even consider it apocalyptic. And that's what brought to mind what we wanted to talk about today. Because apocalypse, we have in our minds what that is from all the apocalyptic movies we've seen over the years, zombies and pandemics and whatnot. But apocalypse comes from the Greek word, which means an unveiling. And it is, interestingly, the Greek word that's used as the title of the last book of the New Testament. Apocalypse is a revelation of future things that we couldn't know unless they were unveiled, unless they were uncovered and revealed to us. It's taken on the meaning for us so many times of an event of horrible disaster and catastrophic destruction. When we use the word apocalypse, that's what comes to our mind. It's no wonder that we see things that way, since as you read in Revelation, a lot of the stuff that John wrote down in his visions is sort of apocalyptic in that way. Death and destruction and all the rest. Even just in chapter 9 of Revelation. Here's just a sampling in case you haven't reviewed it recently. But in chapter 9, you see so many things like this that are spoken of at the end of time. That a third of the earth would be burned. A third of the waters poisoned. A third of the sun, moon, and stars turned dark. Mankind tormented for 5 months by demon locusts. And 3 plagues that will come, that will kill 1/3 of the people on earth. And that's just to name the few things in chapter 9. And so, yeah, that's why we have the idea that apocalypse is all about doom and gloom and destruction. But for Jesus' followers, the focus shouldn't be on the coming apocalypse. Listen to that again. as Jesus followers, our focus should not be on the coming apocalypse. Instead, we need to keep our focus firmly on this truth. Jesus is our coming King. Our coming King. And so like the video said, keep looking up. Keep watching, because He's coming. I want us to look at just a couple passages today that I pray will refocus our attention clearly on the coming King and how that affects everything. Because when we look to the future expecting a coming King, when that's our focus, there is no fear. There is only hope. In John 14, Jesus had been talking to His disciples, telling them that one of them was going to betray Him. Then He talked about leaving them and going away where they couldn't follow Him. And they were terrified with all of this. It really rocked their world. But even after that terrifying news, Jesus was very plain in telling them, don't be troubled. Don't be fearful about these circumstances I'm telling you about. Don't be troubled or fearful about any circumstances that this life brings to you. He said in John 14, don't let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If not, I would have told you. I'm going away to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and take you to myself, so that where I am, you will be also. You know the way to where I'm going. And Thomas said, Lord, we don't know where you're going. How in the world can we know the way? And Jesus told him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Jesus is saying to us here, His followers, you have no reason to fear a coming apocalypse because you believe in me. When you believe in Jesus, there is no fear. Because I'll come and I'll take you back and I'll take you with me to my kingdom where I'll have everything ready for you. Welcome you home. Yeah, no fear of a coming apocalypse with Jesus. Peter expanded on that thought when he wrote to the church in 1 Peter chapter 1 with a message of hope, saying that when you accept Jesus as your Savior, you are born into a living hope because Jesus rose from the dead. Listen to this. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Because of His great mercy, He has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you. You're being guarded by God's power through faith for a salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. In this fact, rejoice, even though now, for a short time, if necessary, you suffer grief in various trials, so that the proven character of your faith, more valuable than gold, which though perishable is refined by fire, may result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. You see, not only do you not have to fear a coming apocalypse, you can positively have hope for something much more glorious. An imperishable inheritance that is safe because it is guarded by God's power. He is keeping it in heaven for you. That spiritual life that you were given at salvation will be completed when Jesus returns. The guarantee of that is that Jesus rose from the dead. It's a living hope, not a dead, uncertain wish for better things to come. And so Peter tells us, and I'm telling you now, live in that hope. Live in that hope. Peter says, even if for a short time you suffer grief and trials, live in that hope. Those hardships are the fire that refine you so that your faithful life will bring glory to God. Live in hope. Paul also wrote to Titus, listing instructions of how to live a godly life following Jesus. And he framed it as living with hope, not fear. Live, he says, in a sensible, righteous, and godly way in the present age. Live this way while we wait for the blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ. He gave himself for us to redeem us from all lawlessness and to cleanse for himself a people for his own possession who are eager to do good works. That's what Paul was saying to Titus. Wait for your coming king. Wait for your coming king. It means that you know he's coming. That expectancy is so powerful in our lives. When we allow it to sink into our mind, into our hearts, the truth is Jesus is coming. No matter what's going on around me, I can expect it. And expectancy is a powerful thing. You know, Brenda has been working a couple of different shifts of late, working the evening or at night. And so she's coming home late. Or very early, which is still kind of late for me. You know, she's coming home late, and I worry about it. No, I don't worry about it, but I'm anxious about it, and I'm expectant. I see the time, and I say, oh, Brenda will be home in a few minutes. And I find myself going to the window and looking out to see, oh, is she coming yet? Is she coming yet? Sometimes I time it right, and I see her, and I can run downstairs and open the garage door for her so she doesn't have to get out of the car. But it's that expectancy. I'm waiting. I'm looking. I'm watching for her to come. As we wait for Jesus, you see, it's not some sit around doing nothing sort of waiting. No, we're preparing and getting ourselves ready. Expectant. Eager. Eager to do the good works that he's called us to do. That's what Paul was talking about to Titus. So here we've seen that Jesus' followers aren't fearful of a coming apocalypse. Instead, we wait with hope for our coming King. I'd like to condense those three things that we talked about in those other passages of Scripture into what it looks like in these three short, easy-to-remember things that can help you live by hope instead of fear. Because the world is just churning out the fear. Every news report, every Facebook post, every person that calls you, they're talking about all the things that could go wrong or the things that are going wrong. And all it does is churn up fear. And I want you to know that we don't have to live in fear. When we are following Jesus, when we are expectantly looking for our coming King, we have hope, real hope. So these three things. First of all, be ready. Be ready. In Revelation chapter 19, it says, John wrote, "Let us be glad, rejoice, and give him glory, because the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his bride has prepared herself. She was given fine linen to wear, bright and pure." Here's a picture of John's vision of the church being ready. And you see, and I love this, the last phrase there in verse 8. She was given fine linen to wear, bright and pure. This one's not so much about what you and I do in preparation. This is about what Jesus has done. When I talk about being ready, it's only about accepting the gift of forgiveness and life that Jesus has offered to you, that he paid for on the cross. It is in that he gives to you his righteousness. Because we know the Bible says our own righteousness is like what? Filthy rags. It's not worth anything. Our own righteousness, the things that we do ourselves. But when we accept Jesus as our Savior, when we accept his gift of forgiveness and life, and we commit ourselves to follow him, he gives to us his righteousness. His perfect righteousness. We're given fine linen to wear, bright and pure, as John described it. You don't deserve it. You can't earn it. All you can do is accept the gift. And that's the only way to be ready for Jesus' return. Oh, I'm really nice to my neighbors and friends. Oh, I go to church every week. Oh, well, not now, but you would if you could, but you can't. Oh, I give my tithe. Oh, I don't smoke, I don't drink, I don't chew, and I don't go with girls who do, as I was told when I was a teenager. All these things that I do and I don't do, and none of that will make you ready for Jesus' return. None of it. He gives us fine linen to wear, His righteousness. And I just want to say, if you've never before asked Jesus to come into your life, to forgive your sin, to cleanse you, and commit to follow Him, there is no better time than right now to do so. Because that's what it means to be ready for the coming King. Right where you're at, you can pray, Lord, I admit I'm a sinner and I can't save myself. Please forgive me. I accept your gift of life and forgiveness. And Lord, I want to follow you from here on. If you pray that or something like that to God, His promise is that you are born again. New life, a new creation. And you're ready. One other thing I want to add in here. Church family, Jesus followers, okay? I would like to hear from you. If you were here in the sanctuary today, I would ask you to stand up. You know, yes, I'm following Jesus. I made that choice. I'm ready in that regard. I would love for you to email me or call me or somehow send me a letter. This post office is still running. Send me your story, please. Tell me of the time when you accepted Jesus' gift of life and forgiveness and committed to follow Him. That would make me... I love hearing those stories. So please, would you tell me some of them? I won't embarrass you unless I ask you if I can embarrass you. So send them to me. Let me know. Because once you're ready, once you've accepted salvation from Christ, once you have received His righteousness, the next thing He says is be faithful. Also in Revelation chapter 3, Jesus says through John's vision, I am coming soon. I'm coming soon. Hold on to what you have so that no one takes your crown. I love this warning from Jesus because Jesus gives you His life. He gives you His righteousness. He makes you pure. Now, He says, faithfully live that way. I've given you this life. I've given you this righteousness. Now live that way. Be about the task that I've assigned each of you. Because Jesus did assign us a task. He showed us in His Word how we're supposed to live as followers of Christ. To remember the task assigned, I want to tell you a story. A.B. Simpson, the founder of the Christian Missionary Alliance, was giving an interview to a newspaper reporter. That was back in the day when reporters went out and they wrote things down on paper and then typed them up later. He was being interviewed by a reporter, and the reporter asked him, Mr. Simpson, tell me when Jesus is coming back. You keep talking about Jesus returning. You tell me when it is. And Dr. Simpson looked at him and said, okay, I will tell you when Jesus will return. If you promise me that you will write down completely and exactly what I say. That's what you. I want you to publish exactly what I tell you. And the reporter agreed to that. And Dr. Simpson said, "This good news of the kingdom will be proclaimed in all the world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come." Done. He didn't have a mic to drop, but that's what it would have been. That was Jesus' words to us in Matthew 24. This good news of the kingdom will be proclaimed in all the world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come. Be faithful with that task that He's given to us. This good news about Jesus, our Savior, our Sanctifier, our Healer, our coming King, proclaim that clearly and freely wherever you are, whoever you're dealing with, however you get the message out. Be faithful with that task. Let it be seen in the way you live your life. Let it be heard in the things that you say. That's being faithful to the task that Jesus has given to each of us. It's not reserved for me or the elders or special evangelists and people. It's for every believer. The good news of the kingdom will be proclaimed by you. Be faithful to the task. Once you're ready, having accepted salvation from Christ, being faithful in the task that He's given to us, be watching as well. Be ready, be faithful, be watching. Jesus said in Luke 21, "But when these things begin to take place," talking about the end times, "when these things begin to take place, stand up and lift up your heads, because your redemption is near." Watching means expectancy and longing. Lift up your head. Keep looking, just like you watch for a loved one to return from a long trip. Going back to the window to look one more time. Long for the return of your Savior and King whom you love. You know He's coming. I mean, He said so directly. You should expect Him any minute now. And when He comes, it's going to be good. That's why we have hope. I was reading and preparing for Esther Church's funeral this past week. And I came across a poem. I'd heard it before, but it didn't really sink into my mind. But I wanted to share it with you today. This is also a poem by A.B. Simpson called "No More Sorrow" that gives us a glimpse of this hope that we have. I just wanted to share it with you as well. "There shall be no more crying. There shall be no more pain. There shall be no more dying. There shall be no more stain. Hearts that by death were riven meet in eternal love. Lives on the altar given rise to their crowns above. Satan shall tempt us never. Sin shall o'ercome no more. Joy shall abide forever. Sorrow and grief be o'er. Hasten, sweet morn of gladness. Hasten, dear Lord, we pray. Finish this night of sadness. Hasten the heavenly day. Jesus, our watch we are keeping, longing for Thee to come. Then shall be ended our night of weeping. Then we shall reach our home." Did you hear the joyful, hope-filled watching that He was talking about? Allow that to fill your heart as you watch for your coming King. Many today view the world through the lens of pandemic and politics and pain. And when that is what you look at, if that is what you see, is it any wonder that you would look to the future for a coming apocalypse? But you and I, as Jesus followers, We don't ignore the disease and the division and the dysfunction. I mean, it's right there. We can't ignore it. But because of who we know and because of what He has promised, we look with hope for our coming King. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Let's pray. Father God, thank You for the forgiveness and life that You have given to us in Christ. Help us to be faithful as we submit to Your guidance and provision in our lives each day. Keep our focus on the task that You've given us to live the good news every moment of every day. And Lord God, make us ever watchful, expecting the day when You'll come to take us home to be with You forever in heaven. Forgive us, Lord, for the times when our focus shifts to the doom and gloom of our current world, so much so that we forget that our King is coming. And it could be any day. Lord, fill us with anticipation and excitement and hope so that there's no room for fear and despair. You've told us about what's happening and what will happen. Jesus, You said straight up, "Yes, I'm coming soon." Please keep our focus on You, our coming King, so that our hearts will cry out, "Even so, come, Lord Jesus," in hope, not fear. Amen.